This free program is paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a member, think about joining with us to help keep free speech alive.
By the listeners, 90% of our dollars come from you, the listeners. You make the difference for KPFT. You know, Tony Abshar and I were talking a little bit earlier, and he was saying something I think that was really interesting, something for everybody. When you listen to this bit of history, Bayard Rustin and Malcolm X in this debate, you can pick that up with 7 other CDs for your $240 pledge.
Yes.
When you think about hearing these kinds of recordings, you think, wow, that's a really interesting piece of history.
Absolutely.
And I think that's right. But something that you want to think about as you listen to KPFT and you listen to recordings like this, KPFT is like an audio library.
Yes.
Where these types of audio pieces are protected and preserved. You can listen to the quality of it, and you can literally hear the love and the care that was put into preserving and restoring that audio.
Exactly.
Recorded 48 years ago. And you listen to it and you're like, oh, this must have happened a couple of days ago.
I mean, I wasn't here 48 years ago.
I wasn't here 48 years ago either. But
I wasn't
you
here.
Know, but the fact remains, even if this is what Bayard Rustin, maybe you remember hearing that debate.
Exactly.
Maybe this is part of your youth and you remember the fires of the Civil Rights Movement. Larry Payne on Interchange has talked about many of these things. Maybe this is part of your experience. Maybe it was never part of your experience, but it touches your life because those ideas, those visions touch our lives today. They're still relevant. Regardless of what it is, we need to hear from you.
Absolutely.
713-526-KPFT. Tony.
Ernesto, how many grandparents do you think sit with their grandchildren and talk to them about these times?
I would hope many, but I'm not exactly sure. But that's the other issue. I don't know how many young people want to be connected to these things, but I'll tell you something that would connect them. A debate like this, because, you know, and in all honesty, as Afshar does like to mention, 500 years from now, when Fox has whitewashed every bit of news, these kinds of stands, a stand like Pacifica, having the courage to say, this kind of radio, these kinds of voices, this kind of dialogue and debate and spirited discussion is a principle that we should all support.
Yes.
That is worth supporting.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, because Fox is whitewashing so much of the news right now, a debate really does grab people's attentions. It's really interesting to listen to. You hear the energy and the spirit of Bayard Rustin coming through his questions, and he's disagreeing. He's going, what states? What about this? I disagree with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
Discussing Malcolm X. Malcolm saying, no, this is where I stand, and this is where I disagree with you.
Yes.
But there's some respect there. It's giving you an opportunity to hear all the sides of a discussion and making your own decision. That's a valid, valid, important point that has to do with non-commercial radio.
Absolutely.
713-526-5738. I've got one call on the line, Tony. Ling is ready to take a call. Matt's ready to take a call. We are ready to talk to you. It's 8 o'clock. We want to bring in James Baldwin and Malcolm X, Black Muslims versus the Sit-Ins. We are going to go with that, but we won't be able to do it without your call. 713-526-5738. This is Monday, May 19th. This is would have been the 83rd birthday of Malcolm X. All day long, KPFT has been celebrating the life and legacy of Malcolm X. Today we bring you A Choice of Two Roads. Bayard Rustin, Malcolm X, along with a lecture from Eddie Shabazz, a 6-CD set from Malcolm X, including from the Pacific Radio Archives, and with the voice of Malcolm X, including Prospects for Freedom, The Ballot or the Bullet, John Heinrich Clark speaking on Malcolm X, Malcolm X's last speech. It's all available to you for your $240 pledge. And I know that's a lot of money. Maybe you're waiting on your economic stimulus check. Maybe you've already received it. This is a great thing to invest in. Invest your stimulus check in stimulating radio, in radio that inspires you, that touches your life, radio that you care about. Please make your pledge of support.
713-526-5738. That is 713-526-KPFT.
713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. Lisa's about to kick me over. A pledge. I want to send a big thank you out to who we're about to thank. But right now, we want to thank you. So give us a call. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
For many American Negroes, the sit-in movement has become a rallying point in the struggle for full equality. And yet there is as well a significantly large number of American Negroes, the Muslims, who have objected strenuously to the sit-ins. In view of this, Mr. Malcolm, I would like to ask you, what is it precisely that the Muslims object to about the sit-in movement?
Yes, Mr. Donald, and first I would like to say that I'm speaking not for myself, but as a follower and helper and representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, who is the spiritual head of the fastest growing group, religious group, of black people here in the Western Hemisphere. And when we give our views, we don't give them as a civic group, we don't give them as a political group, but we give them primarily as a religious group. And any solution that we set forth, we absolutely feel that it's a religious solution rather than a political solution. One of the reasons that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, in teaching us here in America, is giving us a solution that differs drastically from the sit-in movement. He's trying to make us men. Now, the very fact that you find students all over the world today are standing up for their rights and fighting for their rights. But here in America, the so-called Negro students have allowed themselves to be maneuvered under a tag of sit-in. The word sit itself is not an honorable tag. Anybody can sit. An old woman can sit. A coward can sit. A baby can sit. Anything can sit. But it takes a man to stand. And when they attach this sit-in term or title to this movement, it stigmatizes it, in my opinion.
Is this the passivity of it that you object to?
Actually, I guess it describes it. The name describes its nature. It's a passive thing. And also, we feel that to try and sit down in another man's restaurant to drink a cup of coffee is insane. If I were in the South and a Southerner didn't want me to eat in his restaurant, and I forced my way in and then let him go back in his kitchen and prepare some coffee for me to drink, I'd consider myself insane to drink it. We don't think that that's the solution. We feel that rather than to force our way into someone else's restaurant or public place that they have established, that we should get our own. Once we have our own, we're respected for the fact that we can create our own. And that's equality right there. Thirdly, we feel that the sit-in movement actually represents a new Negro, in the sense that it represents dissatisfaction. It shows that the new generation here in America of black students have lost the fear of the white man that our parents had. 20 years ago, the average so-called Negro, if he was dissatisfied with something, the degree of dissatisfaction that he would show would be tempered or controlled by his concern as to what the white man's attitude would be if he showed that he didn't like it. And the sit-in movement, the good part of the sit-in movement, in my opinion, represents the fact that there is a new generation of so-called Negroes who are dissatisfied. And the fact that they will go into these places shows that they differ from their parents in that they have lost fear of that obstacle that their parents feared. Now, I think that the white man realized when the sit-in movement first started that it was a dangerous thing. And in my opinion, the way he has captured it and controls it right to this day, he put the same leaders that formerly had kept the Negroes walking along a patient, passive road were jockeyed into a position where now they are the advisors to these students. Being accepted by the students as advisors, the student sit-in movement, in my opinion, has lost its militancy to the degree that it has accepted advice of these preachers and politicians who usually are for their own personal benefit rather than for the masses of black people on the whole. And I would like to say in conclusion on that point that if a man is going to have his tooth pulled, the pain that he receives from the extraction will make him manifest a violent reaction. Pain automatically makes a person resist or put up some form of action to defend himself from that which is causing him pain. But to keep a man, in order for the dentist to be able to handle the patient, he puts Novocaine in the patient's jaw, and though he's still extracting the tooth, this Novocaine makes the patient think that nothing is being done to him. And I think that the student sit-in movement shows that the black people here in America finally became so overburdened with pain that they were about to display some violent reaction to all of these injustices. And to keep this down, I think that the powers that be maneuvered these Negro preachers and other politicians into a position to advise these students, and it was just like injecting Novocaine into them. And their militancy today, again I say, is displayed according to the degree of advice they accept from the older leaders.
Would you agree that their goal is a worthwhile one?
If their goal is integration, it's not a worthwhile one. But if their goal is freedom, justice, and equality, then that's a worthwhile goal. If integration is going to give the black people in America complete freedom, complete justice, and complete equality, then it's a worthwhile goal. But if this word that they've invented, integration, and as I mentioned, the Novocaine that is put into the patient's jaw, in this sense, it would be integration. Just the holding this integration bottle and dangling it in front of the Negroes in America today has actually disabled them, or it has nullified their ability to stand up and fight like a man for something that is theirs by right, rather than to just sit around and beg and wait for the white man to make up his mind that they're worthy to have this type thing. I think that this is, in my opinion, why we disagree with the sit-in movement. If they are willing to wait for another 100 years for the white man to change his mind to accept them as a human being, then they're wrong. But if they're willing to lay down their life tonight or in the morning in order that we can have what is ours by right tonight or in the morning, then it's a good movement. But as long as they're willing to wait for the white man to make up his mind that they are qualified to be respected as human beings, then I'm afraid that all of their waiting and their planning is for naught. As Thurgood Marshall said on New Year's Eve, the Supreme Court brought about the desegregation decision, I think, 6 or 7 years ago, and there is only 6% desegregation in America right now. We don't call two students, black students, going to University of Georgia integration, nor do we call four children, black children, going to school in New Orleans integration, nor do we call a handful of black students going to school in Little Rock integration. If every black man in the state of Arkansas can't go to any school he want, that's not integration. And if every black child in the state of Louisiana cannot go to any school that they are qualified for in the morning, then that's not integration. And likewise with Georgia and any other state in America. It's no integration with us until the entire thing is given, is laid on the table, not 100 years from now, but in the morning. And at the rate that the NAACP, CORE, and the Urban League is willing to accept the change of attitude in the white man's mind, we who are Muslims feel we'll be sitting around here in America for another 1,000 years, not waiting for civil rights or something like that, but even waiting to be granted the rights of a human being.
Mr. McCullings, do you feel that your movement has been emasculated the way that Mr. Malcolm described it?
Quite on the contrary, Mr. Donnell. The first thing I'd like to point out is perhaps many people have been quite uninformed as to the start of the movement and the reason for the movement. Many people seem to get the idea that this movement started as a result of somebody coming in and organizing and saying, this is a way that we can achieve full integration. So why don't you students get together and do thus and thus? The situation is quite on the contrary. The movement started in Greensboro, North Carolina, with a young man from Washington, D.C., who was a student at A&T College, who decided one day while downtown that he'd like to have a cup of coffee. And he decided that he'd go into a drugstore that had been, as far as he could remember, and probably as far as any of his parents or grandparents could remember, was strictly taboo as far as the lunch counter was concerned. This particular young man decided that he would go in and sit down and order a cup of coffee, and he did. He was refused. Then and there, he decided that something could and should be done about this particular thing. And one of the best ways to do this, he decided, was through a nonviolent, peaceful means. The weapons of violence are quite obvious. I think that any intelligent individual can realize this, that you can fight a weapon of violence. The weapons of nonviolence are not so obvious, and it becomes very difficult to cope with them. The reasons for requesting a cup of coffee were not because the individual desired a cup of coffee so much, for I'm sure that if he had gone back to the dormitory or gone back to the campus, he could have very easily got a cup of coffee without any trouble at all. After the movement began, it became quite obvious that the argument, the sit-in movement, the demonstrations were not for cups of coffee, but were for all the other facets of life that individuals have to come in contact with daily. I think that this too has been visualized in a wrong sense. Nine times out of ten, if the students in the southern schools were served coffee anytime they wanted to be served at these lunch counters, they would never bother about buying it. But I think that they visualized that there had to be a starting point. And this was just as good a starting point as any. With a demand for a cup of coffee at a lunch counter that was strictly taboo, from an individual who had always remained on top and subjected his fellow man, the Negro, to all sorts of discriminatory ideas and concepts, this immediately became a challenge to explore all the other facets of life. Employment, education, and everything else that you want to name. This then is the reason for the sit-in, not to secure a cup of coffee, but to explore and secure all the equal opportunities available to all Americans and our democratic way of life.
How can you not be touched by what you've been listening to? It's part of a history you don't learn in school. It means something to us as a society. It helped shape the world as we know it. It has changed lives. I'm David Courtney of Music Beyond Borders. As someone who's passionate about learning, about discovering new ideas, knowing about different people and cultures, you know that KPFT brings you more information and perspective than any other station. All this, the music you love, and the Pacifica Radio Archives are on KPFT. That's why you listen, and it's why we're asking for your financial support today. Contributing listeners provide over 90% of the funding that keeps KPFT on the air. Pacifica Radio Archive preserves sound like this. It's hard work, reviewing and restoring tender reel-to-reel tapes, cleaning up the sound, and even finding the legacy equipment to play it. Like KPFT, the Pacifica Radio Archives collection is incredibly diverse. Musical performances, civil rights figures, literature, the arts. You can't expect that someone else will step in at the last moment to help contribute to the work of saving these sounds. It has to be you. The economy is in tough times, so give what you can, but please call. KPFT and the Pacifica Radio Archives need you now more than ever. Here is the number to call.
713-526-5738. That is 713-526-KPFT.
Make that pledge of support right now. I'm Ernesto Aguilar. That is Tony Cox riding shotgun here the control room. We have Ling and Sammy and Matt over at Pledge Central. We want to ask for your pledge of support. You have been listening to Black Muslims versus the Sit-ins, mm-hmm. a debate between James Baldwin and Malcolm X, brought to you here on KPFT as we complete our day-long celebration of the life and legacy of the late civil rights leader Malcolm X, who would have been 83 years years old today.
Yes.
Thank you so much for tuning into KPFT. Thank you so much for your listenership. I want to also send a big thank you to brand new member Michael. He's going to be picking up. He kicked our hour off right. Want to send a big thank you out to him.
Fantastic,
for his
Michael.
Pledge of support this hour. Also want to send a big thank you out to Anonymous, who is challenging those of you who want to see new voices
challenge
out there. She wants you to know that there are people out there who are on the fence and says, just do it. She
yes.
went ahead and gave us a call,
yes.
made the pledge of support. Thank you so much for that. Making a challenge to those of you who have not made your pledges before, this is your chance. Please go to your phone, dial 713-526-5738. We have a great premium, great package available as a thank you gift today.
Yes, sir. Absolutely.
And at that $240 level, we have the Malcolm X Deluxe CD set available for your pledge of support. The debate between Baird Rustin and Malcolm X, you heard that last hour. Maybe we'll try to play a snippet for those of you who only got a chance to hear a little bit of it. Maybe we play that a little later.
Yeah.
A Choice of Two Roads, the debate recorded in 1960. A great lecture on the life and legacy of Malcolm X by his widow, Betty Shabazz.
Mm.
And a 6-CD set from the Pacifica Radio Archives featuring interviews and speeches by Malcolm X, interviews with and speeches by Malcolm X, including his legendary The Ballot or the Bullet speech, his
yes.
legendary Prospects for Freedom speech, the Black Muslims and the Sit-ins debate that you're listening to this hour, and so much more. That $240 pledge will get you all 8 CDs.
All 8 CDs.
All 8 for a $240 pledge. Please go to your phone, dial 713-526-5738. We have some great stuff to play for you this evening. We have a little bit more. We'd love to play a little bit more of this James Baldwin debate
mm-hmm.
with Malcolm X. We'd also like to play for you a few other items that are on the tap. We do have a little bit of a recording from the 1979 March in Washington. We want to play that a little bit later on, featured in our From the Vault set, that From the Vault 100-hour program. A set of CDs is available for your $200 pledge. 100
yes.
hours. It features everything from an hour on the March in Washington to remembering Stonewall, a recording on Quentin Crisp,
mm-hmm.
a recording from Alan Watts, recordings from the Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., remembering Malcolm X, and many, I'm just naming off some titles. Molly Ivins is featured.
Yes.
Gore Vidal is featured. Studs Terkel is featured. A lot of great stuff that you can get in the From the Vault set available from KPFT. A one-of-a-kind kind of gift, Tony. Give us a call.
713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT.
Please make that pledge of support. We'll go back to the Black Muslims versus the Sit-ins, the debate between James Baldwin and Malcolm X. We need to hear from you. Your pledge of support makes the difference. You make it possible for KPFT to continue. Your pledge of support this evening makes it possible. We have a $500 goal we must raise this hour. We're getting there, but we cannot reach it without your pledge of support. This is such a unique gift, Tony. It really is.
It really is. KFPT is your companion, and we're here for you every day, so give us a call. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT.
You make a difference with that pledge of support. Over 90% of our dollars come from the listeners. That means that people like you, not advertisers, not a corporation that decides what format we're going to do and all these other kinds of things,
mm-hmm.
determines how our programming is done. You as the listener maintain that free speech. You maintain that integrity.
Yes.
And as your thank you gift for your pledge of support, we have a great premium for you. 8 CDs featuring Malcolm X and his life and legacy, his widow Betty Shabazz, the Baird Rustin Malcolm X debate, A Choice of Two Roads, Malcolm X debating James Baldwin,
yes.
John Heinrich Clark speaking on Malcolm X, Malcolm in his own words featuring a series of legendary speeches, The Ballot of the Bullet,
yes.
Prospects for Freedom, his final speech, all delivered for your pledge of $240. That pledge, it is a high premium. I have to admit that, Tony.
Well, things are tight.
Things are tight for a lot of people.
But see, this is something that's going to last throughout the generations of their family. Their children are going to listen to this. Their children's children are going to listen to this.
And people should. I mean, this is certainly where there are so few outlets for this kind of radio, where there are so few places where people can really hear this kind of thing. KPFT becomes all the more valuable, I think.
Exactly. And the recordings become all the more valuable. Think about in 50 years. It's impossible to get these recordings now. Think about how much more impossible it's going to be in 50 years.
713-526-5738. Pledge Central is quiet. It is extremely quiet. It shouldn't be quiet because you care about KPFT. Maybe you've thought about making that pledge of support. Maybe you wanted to make that pledge of support. Maybe you've thought about it and you decided, oh, maybe I'll do it another time. This is your opportunity. We have open lines, and we know you care about KPFT. We know that you care. We know that the station makes a difference to you. This is your opportunity to make a pledge of support. Please go to your phone.
713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
Please make that pledge of support. You make the difference with your pledge, but we cannot do this without you. Please go to your phone. We'll go back to James Baldwin and Malcolm X. We're going to change gears in just a bit, but we can continue this programming if we are able to reach this goal. We have a $500 goal. We must raise this hour.
Yes.
We have to raise that $500 goal this hour. It's a challenging goal. It is certainly, I would concede that it is a lot of money. Certainly, if I ask you for $500, that's going to be a challenge for you.
Yes, ma'am.
If you ask me for $500, that's going to be a challenge for me.
But together, we
are able to make these goals. Each one of us can help make this goal.
Yes.
Each one of us can help make that difference for KPFT. We're asking you to please go to your phone, dial 713-526-5738. I'm not asking you for a $500 pledge. I'm not asking you for $1,000. I'm not asking you for $5,000. I'm asking for a basic membership of $35. I'm asking for a $60 pledge. You can get a great KPFT t-shirt. I'm asking for a $240 pledge, and you get that Malcolm X deluxe set that features Baird Rustin and Malcolm X, Betty Shabazz, features James Baldwin and Malcolm X in debate, features Malcolm X himself, John Heinrich Clark, and much, much more. 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. We'll take a very, very brief break to go back to James Baldwin and Malcolm X, but we need to get your pledge of support. Please use this opportunity during the recording to make your call. We do need to hear from you. It is 807 here at KPFT Houston. Please make that pledge. 7827 rather. So we still have a long way to go to our half hour. In the next half hour, we have $500 we must raise this hour. We have a half hour to do it. Please go to your phone, dial 713-526-5738.
Mr. Baldwin, do you foresee the possibility of the kind of equality that Mr. McCummings talks about?
Before I answer that, I have the feeling that a great many words have been floating around this table, which need to be redefined. And that, by the way, is the problem I think which faces this entire country. Now, I don't agree with Mr. X about the sit-in movement, and I do know something about the war, the incipient war between the students and some of the leaders. I know the gap, the enormous gap between the NAACP and the children in the South. I don't agree that the sit-in, you know, I don't agree that it is necessarily passive. I think it demands a tremendous amount of power, both in one's personal life and in terms of political or polemical activity, sometimes to sit down and do nothing or seem to do nothing. But finally, I think what we have to argue about here is what I don't quite know any longer what this word integration is supposed to mean. Now, if I thought the student movement were involved with some desire to be served a cup of coffee by a white man because he was a white man, or to be accepted by people, I personally, I have to put it this way now, There are a great many people whom I'm not prepared to accept as my equal. You know, some of them are white and some of them are black. And from my point of view, integration in terms of being raised to the level of an illiterate Mississippi cracker is not integration at all. It seems to me the hope of this country and the role the Negro can play in it is to raise these people to a level they've not yet achieved. I think we're arguing about the question here. When the sit-in movement started, or when a great many things started in the Western world, it was not. I think it had a great deal less to do with equality than it had to do with power. And I do think we have to decide what we want. You know, now what has happened in the world in relation to black people is not the white people who suddenly change or become more conscious of the black men's humanity. What has happened is very simple. This is the white power has been broken, and this means, among other things, that it is no longer possible for an Englishman to describe an African and make the African believe it. It is no longer possible for a white man in this country to tell a Negro who he is and make the Negro believe this. The controlling image is absolutely gone. Now, it seems to me the responsibility which faces us then, the question which faces me in any case, is since there is a distinction between power and equality, there is a distinction between power and freedom, and I know that in terms, for example, of Africa, that an African nation cannot expect to be respected unless it is free. I know that unless it has its political destiny in its own hands, which is what we mean by power, there is no hope that the English will deal with an African nation as a subjugated nation as long as it is in fact subjugated. That is not quite the same situation that we face here in America as American Negroes. It is not, in my mind yet anyway, conceivable. I can see that I might very well, for one reason or another, leave this country tomorrow and never come back. But I will not cease to be an American Negro for this reason. And the history of our history in this country is something that I think we have to face, especially since we're demanding that white people face it. And whether I like it or not, whether you like it or not, this issue about integration is a false issue, because we have been integrated here ever since we got here. I am no longer a pure African. There are no pure Africans in this country. The history which has produced us is something which, in any case, we're going to have to deal with one of these days. Now, I think it is a mistake. I think it is a mistake to pretend this issue did not happen. What we're arguing about, I think, one of the things, in any case, I think I would be arguing about, is the effect of this on the Negro world and the great divisions in it, so that it does, in fact, range from people who imagine they are white, you know, who never talk to Negroes, to people who imagine that if they can make a buck, they will somehow beat the system, to homeless and demoralized black boys and girls who don't know where to go. The issue, it seems to me, the reason that the sit-in movement is important, the reason this whole ferment is of such importance, is not that I want anybody's cup of coffee, or even to go, particularly to anybody's school. It is because the country cannot afford to have, as it has at this moment, millions of black boys and girls in various ghettos all over the country, either perishing literally, or perishing, I must say, finally, with the kind of demoralization and bitterness and hatred which can, after all, blow this country wide apart. The importance, in my mind, of the Muslim movement, in conclusion, is that it is the first time, I think, in the history of this country that a Negro audience, a Negro laborer, a Negro schoolboy has heard his own condition described without anybody trying to flinch from it. It is very different from hearing a speech by Roy Wilkins, in which, you know, one is told in one way or another that tomorrow will be better. And I think this has a tremendous effect. This is the reason I think the Muslim speaker has so much power over his audience. It comes out of a failure in the Republic. This country has lied about the Negro situation for 100 years. And now what has happened is the lies are no longer viable, can no longer be accepted, even when they can be told. And the country has waited so long that it does not know how to handle this, and has created a moral vacuum. There's a moral vacuum in the Negro ghettos, in the same way there's a moral vacuum in New Orleans, which is filled with desperate people. Now, I don't think that we can afford this. No, we can go on about this a little longer. Something else I wanted to say. It seems to me, and now I speak for myself, that one of the great, my quarrel with the official Negro leadership, and my quarrel with those such Negroes as imagine they are integrated or imagine they somehow escaped Negro condition, is that they are not willing to do what I think is absolutely essential. One has got to re-examine the basis, the standards of this country, which not only afflict black people, they afflict the entire country. No one in this country, as far as I can see, really knows any longer what it means to be an American. He does not know what he means by freedom. He does not know what he means by equality. We live in the most abysmal ignorance of not only the condition of 20 million Negroes in our midst, but of the whole nature of the life being lived in the rest of the world. And I think that the American white man, the Republic, is beginning to pay for his treatment of the Negro in terms of what he does not know about the rest of the world. You cannot live, it seems to me, you cannot live 30 years, let's say, with something in your closet which you know is there and pretend it is not there without something terrible happening to you. By and by, what I cannot say, if I know that any one of you, has murdered your brother, your mother, and the corpse is in this room and under the table, and I know it, and you know it, and you know I know it, and we cannot talk about it. It takes no time at all before we cannot talk about anything, before absolute silence descends, and that kind of silence is descending on this country. I think that this country has become almost inconceivably radical overnight. It has really got to do something that's not done before, and this involves the humanity of everybody in it. And the key to this is in the Negro. If one can face that, one can face anything, but that has not been faced. And I think this is the reason for the confusion and the ferment and the great, great danger. Again, let me say this, and I will stop. I don't think, I'm not religious, and therefore, since I'm not religious, all theologies for me are suspect. All theologies have a certain use, but I never, for example, believed in the myth of the virgin birth, and I never quite understood why it was necessary to propagate such a peculiar notion. Therefore, as theologies go, it seems to me the Muslim theology is just as good as any. One cannot quarrel with it there. I can't, anyway. But I don't think, I personally reject that theology as I reject all others, and I don't think that we need it. Now, this is a gamble, this is a very reckless thing to say. And perhaps, perhaps it's very mystical. I know the kind of world I would like to see. I would like to think of myself as not needing to be supported by a myth. I would like to think of myself as being able to face whatever it is I have to face as me, dealing with what I have and what there is, without having my identity dependent on something which finally has to be believed, which cannot be tested. This is why one is converted to a religion, I think that there's something very dangerous in it. What I would like to see, and maybe we will never live to see it, is a world in which these things are not necessary, in which it will not matter, which I will not need to invent, in effect, a heritage and a history, but I can deal with the one I have, and will not need, in order to deal with the rest of the world, not need to feel superior to them, but simply be a part of them. And it seems to me this may happen. Well, I'd love to see a world in which there are no blacks, there are no whites, where it does not matter. Because as long as it does matter, and it doesn't matter who is wearing the shoe, the confusion will be great and the bloodshed will be great.
Hi, we're pausing here today during this very special broadcast celebrating the birth date of Malcolm X. I'm KPFT General Manager Dwayne Bradley asking you to call the pledge line at 713-526-5738, 526-KPFT. Pacifica Radio, beginning in 1960, recorded and broadcast the words, the voice that became known as Malcolm X, and the voice and recordings of Malcolm X and the Black Liberation Movement have been an integral part of the Pacifica struggle over these decades. KPFT, born in 1970, bringing you this special day of broadcasting, celebrating the birth, celebrating the legacy, celebrating the vision of Malcolm X. Please support that broadcast. Support these broadcasts with a call to our pledge line at 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT.
Mr. Malcolm, do you see yourself as an expression of this kind of radicalism that Mr. Baldwin is talking about?
Well, I, as a black man, and proud of being a black man, I can't conceive of myself as having any desire whatsoever to lose my identity. I wouldn't want to live in a world where none of my kind existed. I do think that the Negro, American so-called Negro, is the only person on earth who would be willing to lose his identity in a what you might call a new product. This I heard one fellow say one day that there eventually intermarriage and intermixing would take place on such a vast scale that it would produce a chocolate-colored race. And Martin Luther King was in a discussion, televised discussion, with a white newspaper man. I saw it on the television a couple months ago. And this white newspaper man put this to him. He pointed out that he's proud of his white race. He's proud of what he is. He's proud of his racial characteristics to the extent where he has no desire to lose it by mixing with any other race. And the thing that he said he couldn't understand was why the so-called Negroes don't have the same racial pride that whites have in trying to retain their characteristics. And Martin Luther King never answered him, although he should have answered him. I think that it is disastrous for the black people in America to reach the point where their racial pride disappears, and they don't care whether their blood is mixed up with someone else's. I think that also one of the things that brings this about, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, the very fact that you have to refer to the black man in America as a Negro shows you that right there something is wrong. An African doesn't accept this term Negro. And you find they teach us in the educational system of this country that Negro is a Spanish word that's supposed to mean black. Yet when you find the black people who live in Spanish-speaking countries of South and Central America, they don't accept the word Negro to identify themselves. No one allows himself to be classified under the word Negro but the black man here in America who is a descendant of the slaves. And very seldom is it ever applied to anybody but the black man in here in America who is the descendant of the slaves. When you ask a man his identity, he should use a word that connects him with a culture. If you ask him his nationality, it should connect him with a nation. Like if I ask a man his nationality and he says German, that connects him with Germany. Or if he says, even if he says German-American, it still connects him with having originated. His family, his history, has originated in Germany. If he says he's French-American, it connects him with France. But when you ask the black man in America, and he tells you Negro, he doesn't put any other country in front. He puts American Negro, or he'll just say Negro. This doesn't identify him. And usually, when you find a man who calls himself a Negro, he can't tell you what language that he spoke before he came to this country. It's of no consequence, no interest. He believes that prior to coming here, he was a savage in the jungle, and therefore he had no language. And this justifies his lack of knowledge concerning that mother tongue today. Usually, if he calls himself a Negro, he has a name like Murphy. Murphy is an Irish name. He's a black man with an Irish name, which Mr. Muhammad teaches us he got during slavery. If a Chinese were to come into a restaurant and tell you that his name was Murphy, or O'Toole, or MacDougall, People would laugh at him. They know that he has no business with a name like that. And if a yellow man has no business wearing a white man's name, then the question is, how does a black man come about a white man's name? And the history, as Mr. Baldwin pointed out, of the white man here in America and the black man here in America points up the fact that the Negro, or the man here who calls himself a Negro, is just an ex-slave. If he is an ex-slave, I'd rather say he's still a slave. But he's wearing his slave master's name, the name that was given to him during slavery. He's speaking the language of the man who made him a slave because he has no knowledge of his own tongue. He only knows the history, his own history, as taught to him by his former slave master, who purposely hid from him his own history to make him think that he was an inferior being before being brought here. And Mr. Muhammad teaches us that until the black man here in America is connected or reestablished or given some knowledge of his existence prior to coming here to America, his own appraisal of himself will be so low that he'll actually think that the white man is doing him a favor to let him be here in America no matter what his status is. And he also, and this is one of the reasons today why he fights so hard, some of them, to sit down next to the white man, they actually think that the white man is the personification of perfection, and whenever they're allowed to go live in his neighborhood or sit in his restaurant or mingle or socialize with him, that they have attained, that they have made progress. But when they go back and study the history of their own people and the accomplishments of their own people, the civilizations and cultures, black civilizations and black cultures that existed in Africa at a time when the whites in Europe were living a cave-like existence, then immediately their appraisal of their self, of themselves, begins to go higher. And they don't think that to beg somebody to mingle with them in this country is any kind of progress whatsoever. And I would like to say one more thing too on that nonviolent thing, that the black man in America is the only one who is encouraged to be nonviolent, or the black man in Africa, or the black man in Asia. Never do you find white people encouraging other whites to be nonviolent. Whites idolize fighters. They idolize the Hungarian freedom fighters who came to this country and right now can work on jobs that the sit-in students can't get, can live in neighborhoods that the sit-in students can't live in, and can go into public places that the student sit-ins can't go, because they are fighters. Everyone loves a fighter. They respect the fighter. And but at the same time that they admire these fighters, they encourage the so-called Negro in America to get his desires fulfilled with a sit-in stroke or a passive approach or a love your enemy approach or pray for those who despitefully use you. This is insane. And we feel as Muslims, until we see white people practicing this nonviolence, until we see white people take Pearl Harbor, when the Japanese attacked Pearl Harbor, the American white man didn't say, pray for the Japanese and let them now bomb Manhattan or Staten Island. No, they said, praise the Lord, but pass the ammunition. When we study the entire history of the white man, he believes in violently defending himself. But when we study the history of the American so-called Negro, who is trying to get his rights, whenever he has an organization that is integrated, which means it has white advisors who are in top position, usually he's being encouraged to be nonviolent, to be passive, and to be loving, and to be patient. But we have never seen the white man himself display these same characteristics or methods when he's trying to get his own goals accomplished. And right down here in Cuba is another example. The entire government praised the violence of the people who were trying to overthrow Castro. Now, this is, they're condoning violence, they're encouraging violence, and they're praising violence. But when it comes to the black man in Mississippi, now they say they're trying to bring freedom to Cuba, and they'll do it violently or any other explosive way that's necessary to get an enemy away from their house. But here you've got black people in Mississippi who are treated worse than anybody in Cuba. You've got black people in Georgia that are treated worse than anybody in Hungary. And you've got black people in this country who are treated worse than anybody in Africa and Asia ever dreamt of being treated. And instead of someone encouraging them to stand up like a man instead of a boy and do something to bring about a change in these conditions tonight, They're encouraged instead to be nonviolent, to be passive.
History may not have been your best subject in school, and that's okay. Voices like that which you've been hearing are better than what you would get in a classroom. I'm Chris Collins of the Ham Radio Show. You can rely on non-commercial radio to turn complicated studies into understandable language so you'll know how these ideas and advances will affect you. Non-commercial radio helps make complex ideas understandable. Ideas like member support. KPFT relies on your financial support to continue to bring you programs that are relevant to your life. Well over 90% of our budget comes from listeners. That money goes towards things like efforts to save recordings, like the ones you've been listening to. It's true. Saving important voices is not a national initiative. There are no presidential proclamations to rescue our history from the abyss. There are no parades. Whether these recordings live or die depends solely upon people like you. That's why we're asking you to make a contribution right now during this membership drive. Here's the number to call.
That number is 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT to make your pledge of support. I'm Ernesto Aguilar. Thank you for that call. I'm Ernesto Aguilar, KPFT's program director, joined by Matt Helfrich out at Pledge Central. We are asking for your contribution right now. You've just been listening to Black Muslims versus the Sit-ins, a debate between Malcolm X and James Baldwin, recorded in 1961. Amazing document of history. Malcolm X speaking on his opinions, James Baldwin speaking on his opinions on the issue of the sit-ins and the civil rights movement. KPFT has been celebrating the life and legacy of Malcolm X, who would have been 83 years old today. Very provocative conversation that you heard there as part of that debate. That debate, along with the debate A Choice of Two Roads, Bear Rustin and Malcolm X, Betty Shabazz as well, a lecture by Betty Shabazz, many speeches by Malcolm X, including The Ballad of the Bullet, Prospects for Freedom, and so much more is available tonight as a special gift for your $240 pledge. That $240 pledge, Matt, breaks down to about $20 a month?
I believe so.
That is $20 a month. I want to send a big thank you out to brand new member Teresa out in Sugarland, who decided to pick up that Malcolm X Deluxe package. You can do the exact same thing, but we need to hear from you right now. Your number to call right now, 713-526-5738. Matt, we had a $500 goal that we needed to reach this hour. We're getting very close to that goal, but we need to hear from you. Your pledge of support will put us there this hour. Please go to your phone and dial 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT. When you call our volunteers at Pledge Central, just ask them for the Malcolm X Deluxe package. They will be happy to get you the Bayard Rustin Malcolm X debate, the James Baldwin Malcolm X debate, the speeches by Malcolm X, the Betty Shabazz lecture, and so much more. All eight CDs for just $20 per month. Matt, that's less than cable. That's less than a lot of stuff.
Yes, it is.
713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT to make your contribution to KPFT. Please make that pledge right now. 713-526-5738. Matt, how are we doing out there?
We have one caller on the line, and I think we're doing pretty good with
that. That's great. Please keep those calls coming. 713-526-5738. We are getting ready to head into our next hour. Matt, I think we'd like to probably share. Malcolm X just had a chance to lay out in his part of the debate his opinion. And James Baldwin has quite a response in this next segment. I want to get into that in the next hour, next few minutes. We want to get into that. But right now we're asking for a pledge of support. Please show that you care about KPFT. Your pledge of support makes all the difference right now. Thank you for that call. Thank you so much for that call. 713 526-KPFT. When you call our volunteers at Pledge Central, please ask them for the Malcolm X Deluxe CD. That $240 pledge will get you 8 CDs. Prospects for Freedom, The Ballad or the Bullet, Legendary Speeches by Malcolm X, the 1961 Black Muslims versus the Sit-ins. You are hearing that debate. You're actually in the process of hearing that debate between James Baldwin and Malcolm X, talking about the nature of the civil rights movement. You can pick Bayard Rustin and Malcolm X's debate, A Choice of Two Roads. Malcolm X speaking on December 20th, 1964, talking about the treatment of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party headed by Fannie Lou Hamer. That speech was delivered in 1964 in Atlantic City. John Heinrich Clark speaking on the life of Malcolm X. Your pledge of support will get you all 8 CDs. That $240 pledge is our gift to you on this special day. May 19th, Malcolm X would have been 83 years old. Whether you are white, black, brown, yellow, purple, any color, any hue in between, Matt, I think you'd probably have to agree that these kinds of voices, regardless of race, creed, or culture, are important. Or age. I mean, they're important. I mean, speaking personally, I wasn't even alive in 1960 when the Bayard Rustin Malcolm X debate happened. But it means something to me. It really touched me to listen to the energy and the spirit and the animated nature of that debate between Bayard Rustin and Malcolm X. Maybe after this James Baldwin piece, we'll try to share that. We played it in the 7 o'clock hour. For those of you who might be just tuning in, if you want to tune in a little bit later, when you call our volunteers at Pledge Central, let them know if you'd like to hear Bayard Rustin. You're not going to be disappointed if you pledge at that $240 level and pick a Bayard Rustin and Malcolm X and James Baldwin, Betty Shabazz, John Heinrich Clark, the 8 CD Malcolm X Deluxe Set. When you call at Pledge Central, ask for that Malcolm X Deluxe Set. That $240 pledge will get you that premium. 713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. I know Robert is on line one working on a pledge. Matt out of Pledge Central. Helpful, as always. I'm Ernesto Aguilar, KPFT's program director. We are so close to our goal. I'm hoping that we can get an update in just a moment from Pledge Central with thank you.
And I'd like to say a thank you to Abdul out here in Houston. Brand new member.
Great.
And he is picking up the Malcolm X Deluxe CD set.
Fantastic. Abdul brings us to our goal this hour. We do have another $500 goal we must raise in the next hour, but we need to hear from you. Matt, how say we go back to Black Muslims versus the Sit-ins, the James Baldwin debate? You heard part of it. James Baldwin has quite a response. You want to stay tuned for that. Malcolm X and James Baldwin, of course, going back and forth on these issues. You want to stay tuned for that. Thank you for that call. Keep the calls coming. 713-526-5738.
Mr. McCummings, could you subscribe to this kind of discipline? Do you feel that you have denied a heritage, as suggested by Mr. Malcolm?
I could not, definitely not subscribe to this sort of thinking. I think that most of the students who...
I think the important thing is the fact that Mr. Malcolm has established, in his own mind at least, that the American Negro has a heritage and that a person such as you are denying it. Would that be true in your eyes?
Definitely not. I think that while I'm not denying my heritage, I think that one of the things that we're missing the entire boat on is the fact that the issue is not whether we should rise up and fight the white man with violence here in this country. Mr. Malcolm has mentioned the struggle of races, the struggle of mankind throughout the world. The white man, George Washington, who was a warrior, the individuals who said, "Give me liberty or give me death." And this all is good. This is very good. But it does not suffice for the particular problem that we are faced with. We're not faced with a problem that confronts two countries. We're faced with a problem that's internal. I just happen to have an investment in this country. So do all the other Negroes who have lived here, who were born here, and will probably be here for the rest of their lives. Whenever an individual is called upon to defend the country and the country's concept, whether it's practiced or not, we're expected to do so. And we do so willingly. I think that we would be defeating our purpose. I think that the Negro would completely defeat his purpose if he allowed himself to develop such a hatred attitude that he would begin to fight internally with the people in the country. I think that one of the most important things is that if we are going to survive as a nation, if we're going to elevate ourselves and remain on the status that we are considered leaders of the rest of the world, then we're going to have to do it with all the people in the country. I think that while I agree that segregation, discrimination is wrong, while I agree that man cannot limit others until he first limit himself, I think that the means by which the students have undertaken to pit themselves against these laws of segregation, for truly in the South, there has been established a pattern of segregation. And to remove any pattern in the South or any pattern in any part of the country, in my estimation, does not show cowardness. It does not show a lack of manliness. In my estimation, it shows more calm, cool, calculated intelligence than trying to meet these obstacles with violence, which is, in my estimation, would assuredly meet with defeat. We have another thing to consider. We have approximately 20 million Negroes in the United States. Our net national product is approximately $20 million. We're $20 billion. Which means that we control a very small portion of the nation's wealth. And I can't conceive of using such a small group of people and such a small amount of money, since our basic society is based on a capitalistic form of government, a form of government that has to use money for its own good. I can't conceive of how anyone would say that we should go out and use violence when I think that this would defeat our purpose.
Mr. Baldwin, you've talked about a projected time when both the pride and the prejudice of race might be eliminated. In view of what Mr. Malcolm has said, do you feel that you could deny this kind of heritage that he speaks of and only look forward to that projected time?
No. Let me try to make myself clear. I think in the first place there's some disagreement between Mr. Malcolm X and myself as to what this heritage is. And I want to go back to that in a minute. Something else at the moment bothers me. There's not much clarity in this question of violence. From my point of view, from where I sit, whether or not, no matter what Mr. McCummings wants, or no matter what Mr. X wants, no matter what I want, I believe, for example, that one of these days, maybe tomorrow, Birmingham, Alabama will probably blow up. And if Birmingham blows up, it will not just stretch to Atlanta, it will stretch to Boston. There's a kind of fuse, there's an undercurrent, there's something which unites all the Negroes in this country, so that what happens in Birmingham can blow up Harlem. It has happened before. And unless we are extremely swift and miraculously swift, it will happen again. I take violence as given. I think it is coming in any case. What exercises my mind is what happens then. In the first place, this country, in its position in the world now, is extremely precarious position in the world now. The situation of the Negro here is different from that of the Jews in Germany, let us say, 20 or 30 years ago. In that, if Birmingham should blow up, if they should really erupt in America this week, real racial violence, it would have repercussions all over the world. I'm afraid we have to face this fact, that when the Jews are being slaughtered in Germany in the very beginning, no one seemed to care. Millions of Jews crossed the world, and boatloads of them, and no country would let them in. But the American Negro has something working for him in this context, or the country has something working against it, which I don't think he can afford. I don't think that if I use Birmingham because it's the worst city I've ever seen, and absolutely indefensible that it should exist in this country, the reactions in Johannesburg, South Africa, and all over the African continent, and in Latin America, because we've always treated the Latin Americans, whether we admit this or not, we've always treated them as though they were not white. We've never considered them as being white people, which is one of the reasons we are having so much trouble with them. And, you know, I must say that this is one of the things I meant when I said the price that the white man has paid for his willful blindness may prove to be more than the bill is coming in. But I want to get back to this question of identity, because it seems to me this is really where all the questions are. Mr. Malcolm X disagrees with the word Negro, and I can see his point. I confess that it doesn't at the moment much interest me, but that may be my fault. What I am concerned about, though, is the actual history of Negroes in this country. I think one has got to face the fact that it has been one of the ugliest histories in the history of the West. But if one can face this fact, there's another fact which I think one has got to face, which is also one of the most remarkable histories that we know of. And I don't think I can be confused any longer with, I'm not talking now about all the good things that white people did, you know, for the poor darkies and all that jazz. I'm talking about the effect of this experience on the people who underwent it, the masters and the slaves, what it did to them. I would be a very different person if I were not the descendant of a slave. And I might be something, I might be something absolutely incredibly marvelous, but this is a myth. This is romance. In fact, I am the descendant of a slave. This is one of the things I have to deal with because it is true. And I don't think that it has to be a badge of shame. Negroes are not the only slaves. We are not the only descendants of slaves. I think that the confusion here is whether or not, I can't eliminate one half of my ancestors. My grandmother was raped, let us say. This is a fact I have to face. This means that I'm no longer a pure African, and that my relationship to white people is not that of a Congolese to Belgium, and cannot be, no matter how hard I try to make it that. My relationship to white people is dictated by my mother's relationship to them, my father's, by the fact that my grandmother nursed children who grew up to lynch her children, that my father's fathers were always under the heel of some benevolent white man, and a whole myth of this experience has come into being in the country, which is at its highest seen in Faulkner and at its lowest seen in Margaret Mitchell. Now, I don't think that we can be liberated from this history until we are willing to deal with it, and this means I have to deal with it as well as any white man in the country has to deal with it.
The recording you're listening to was restored by the Pacifica Radio Archives, and it merits your support. My name is Ernesto Aguilar. I am KPFT's program director. Interrupting this tape for just a moment, we are celebrating the birthday of the late civil rights leader and freedom fighter, Malcolm X. The recording that you're listening to is available for your financial contribution during our Spring 2008 Pledge Drive. Call our Pledge Center at 713-526-5738. That's 713-526-KPFT to make your pledge of support this day. 713-526-5738. KPFT. The recording you're listening to, as well as a treasure trove of recordings, including a 6-CD Malcolm X set, as well as the voice you've been listening to, and much more, are available for your pledge of support. Call our volunteers at Pledge Central, and we will get you whatever items you're interested in. The goal, however, is that you pick up the phone and dial 713-526-5738.
Now, there's really too much and too little to say. What is the issue here? Malcolm X wants us to act like men, and it seems to me, one of the things that I object to here, I don't think that the fact that white people have done what they have done, Patrick Henry is not one of my heroes. I'm sorry. Most of the American heroes have never been in my Hall of Fame. I don't see any reason for me, at this late date, to begin modeling myself on an image which I've always found, frankly, to be mediocre and not a standard to which I myself could repair. I don't think that black men now should be, because white men have committed these crimes, that black men should do the same thing. I think that there is something absolutely insidious, even if I cannot make this absolutely clear, there's something, to my mind, always terribly insidious in the whole question of race. The white man's racial characteristics, of which the white man claims to be so proud, have reduced him in this country to some to incredible levels. The New Orleans mothers, who are so proud of their racial characteristics, are blaspheming these characteristics and have lost whatever was honorable in them because of the means they use to defend them. There is nobody in the world, I think, sadder than a white man in the deep South who only has his skin and his blue eyes and his yellow hair and nothing else. I don't think that I want to go through the world, and I will not encourage my nephew to begin to go through the world only armed with the color of his skin. The only thing that really arms anybody when the chips are down is how closely, how thoroughly he can relate to himself and deal with the world, yes, as a man, you know. But I don't think, I think when I talk about standards, I say they all got to be revised. This is one of the standards that had to be revised. I don't think that a warrior is necessarily a man. And in fact, it has been proven that football players and all these people in teams and in armies are not men. It is very difficult to be a man. And what it involves, for me, anyway, is an ability to look at the world, to look at whatever it is, and to say what it is, and to deal with it, to face it, even if it does mean laying down your life, because in a way it always does mean that. But I don't want, this is probably the only reason I'm here this afternoon, what I would not like to see, I would not like to see this thousand-year nightmare begin all over again with a shoe on the other foot. In a way, this is personal, but I had to understand, for my own survival, that the things that had been done to me when I was a child, and the things that had been done to my ancestors, I was now responsible for all these things. It was too bad that my father beat me, you know, and too bad, you know, and absolutely unforgivable, unforgettable, that so many, that the history has been so awful, but it is now, when you become a man, your responsibility to deal with it. I cannot undo it by repeating it. I cannot undo it by... I cannot hate you or your child because of what has been done to me. What has been done to me is now my responsibility, and it's up to me to deal with it and to become whatever I can become out of it, because you don't escape it. You don't escape it. It seems to me that we have here in America, the Negro in this country is the only hope this country has. If anyone in the country has any sense of what freedom is, Negroes do. I don't believe, I really don't at the bottom of my heart believe that the country does any longer. I don't think that the people who are sitting now in Washington, the people who are responsible for our conduct in the world, really believe in the things they say they believe. If they did, they would not be so panic-stricken. And they would not give our enemies, that is, nation's enemies, the capital they give them. The panic caused what we call the Cold War, and the cult in this country of ignorance has made it impossible, for example, very nearly impossible, for a respectable anti-communist to say a word. I know what a communist is. I would know one if one bit me. I am convinced that no one in the John Birch Society knows or cares. Now, the safety of this country will not be achieved by dropping leaflets over Africa, and I have seen some of these leaflets, informing the Africans of the crimes of the Kremlin. The safety of this country can only be achieved in one way, and it is a great question. Do we believe it or do we not? And the only way the country can prove it is to answer this question. Answer it for themselves, not for me, because I know. Am I a man or not? And if the answer is no, it is not the Negro who loses. It is the country that loses. There's one thing that can be said, I think, for almost every Negro in the country, which is that it is impossible to disappoint him anymore. Any Negro who survived to the age of 20 knows what to expect. Now, what I would like to undercut, I would like literally, really to undercut it, is a necessity which is created, as I say, by the moral failure of the country, for Negroes to band together, not as men, but as Negroes, and in opposition to the rest of the society. It seems to me, as Malcolm X has said somewhere, the United States does everything else it wants to do, that are we so convinced that Cuba must be free, that we're willing to send to back an invasion to bring freedom to the Cubans, then it seems to me that we can certainly do something about Birmingham and Mississippi. I do not believe, and I don't think any Negro believes, that we are helpless here. I do believe, with Thurgood Marshall, that the school boards have not been honest, the governments have not been honest, they have not intended to see integration come about, and have done everything they could to prevent it. Now, if one could turn the tide, if one could really elicit from Washington a clear statement and arrive at clear action, if someone would tell the governor of Alabama and the governor of Mississippi, if someone would throw him in jail for un-American activities, then the future of this country would become much brighter than it is right now. When you have a man like Eastland throwing people who have challenged the House Un-American Committee, Un-American Activities Committee, in jail, whereas a man like Welch and an entity like Goldwater have this incredible influence, which is increasing all the time, it means that the country is acting out what it really does believe. If we really believed what we said we believed, we would be doing something we are not doing. Now, this gap, this failure on the part of the American Republic is creating the most savage and most dangerous opportunities for people all over the world. There is no reason for anyone in Cuba or anywhere in Latin America to believe that we know what we mean by freedom or have any intention of honoring that word. No reason for anyone in Africa to believe it. And they don't believe it no matter what our rhetoric says. They judge us by performance. Now, it is perfectly conceivable to me, this may sound very far-fetched, that what the white people are doing on this continent, because this is a continent, including Canada, America, and all the rest of Latin America, is simply isolating themselves out of a world which is no longer white, and where power is no longer in white hands. I'm concerned, really, about what is going to happen tomorrow when I will not any longer have a white man to blame. It seems to me that my responsibility, at least as a writer, is to begin to prepare for this day, because this day is coming. It will come peacefully, or it will come with blood. And this has nothing to do with Malcolm X's position, or Mr. McCumming's position, or mine, or yours. It is absolutely on the road. Nothing can stop it. All we can do is prepare for it. And people who do not know how to prepare for it always perish. The French Empire, the English Empire, I won't perish for this reason.
How much is this voice you've been listening to worth to you? I'm Brian Levinka of Queer Voices. This hour, KPFT is featuring voices like this as a part of our membership drive. Sounds like this are saved from the abyss every day by the Pacifica Radio Archives. But the archives isn't like Santa's workshop, where elves are free labor and every kid wants a wooden train. A voice like what you've been hearing is expensive to restore. So, how much is this voice worth to you? Would you put a quarter in your radio every day to make it come on? That's cheaper than a payphone these days. Yet you can turn on the radio every day, seemingly for free, and enjoy great programs for hours on end. For a lot of people, that's where the relationship ends. But for a very special group of people, the relationship changes over time. People like you become attached, start to know the announcers by name, know when a membership drive is coming up, and astonishingly give us money. They willingly pay for something that many people get for free. Those are the very special people. We call them members. We need you to become a member this hour. These voices mean something to you, and you know we are not Santa's workshop. We depend on financial support to save these sounds. Please make a pledge of support. Join KPFT today by calling now, and welcome to the club. Here's the number to call.
That number is 713-526-5738. That is 713-526-KPFT. I'm Ernesto Aguilar here in the Control Center. Matt Helfrich out at Pledge Central.
Howdy, howdy.
Want to send a big thank you to each and every one of you who for your pledge of support. Oh, got to send a big shout out to Robert out there at Pledge Central, too. Big shout out to Robert as well. Black Muslims in the sit-ins, the debate you've been listening to, Malcolm X, James Baldwin, and I, of course, forgot to mention LaVarne McCummins, who was featured in that debate as well. So I've been mentioning James Baldwin and Malcolm X so much during that Black Muslims in the sit-ins debate. In between these segments, LaVarne McCummins had a lot of good comments to start out that debate. That is part of a great premium available tonight for your pledge of support. May 19th, Monday, tonight, we recognize, we celebrate, we honor the life and legacy of the slain civil rights leader, Malcolm X. He would have been 83 years old today. Today, KPFT has been featuring the voice of Malcolm X, interviews, debates, discussions, and so much more. Matt, I think this is what radio like this is really about, these intriguing discussions that you have an opportunity to hear, these debates where people completely disagree sometimes. But you have the opportunity to be the decider. You get to make up your own mind about this. You can pick up an 8-CD set when you call Plate Central. Tell them you want the Malcolm X Deluxe set. That includes a set of CDs that include the debate you've been listening to, Black Muslims and the, versus the sit-ins, A Choice of Two Roads, Baird Rustin debating Malcolm X. We're going to play that in just a moment because that is a hot debate. It's fascinating. Baird Rustin, formerly of the Congress for Racial, of Racial Equality, was with the War Resisters League when this debate was recorded in 1960, nearly 50 years ago, but many issues still relevant today. Malcolm X and Baird Rustin debating the nature of the civil rights movement, whether the sit-ins are effective, and integration, and all these other kinds of topics. You know, it's kind of strange that you have these discussions. 50 years ago, some of these questions and whether equality was even a question, I mean, those were heated discussions of the moment. You have an opportunity to pick that up. You're absolutely right, man. 713-526-KPFT. You can pick up those two debates, as well as The Ballot or the Bullet, the legendary Malcolm X speech, as well as Prospects for Freedom, as well as John Heinrich Clark speaking on Malcolm X, as well as Malcolm X's very last speech delivered December 20th, 1964, and so much more. Your pledge of support right now will help us reach our goal. We do have a $500 goal we must raise this hour. Bobby, brand new member out in Sugarland, has helped us get a little bit closer to that goal. Also got to send a great big thank you out to Varen out in Houston, brand new member. Robert had a really great conversation with him, and so I want to send a big thank you out to Varen for his generous pledge of support. But we need one more person. We need two more people to pick up a Malcolm X Deluxe set. When you call our pledge center, please ask for that Malcolm X Deluxe set. That includes those 8 CDs featuring the voice of Malcolm X, including the debate we're about to get to, A Choice of Two Roads, Baird Rustin, and Malcolm X debating civil rights movement, debating the sit-ins, debating so much of the issues that you just heard a few minutes ago. Matt, yes. It is a heated debate. I'm telling you, Baird Rustin at a few points is just very, 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 very animated in this debate, and you've got to hear it. It's a really important debate. You will get a copy of this full debate. It's about 65 minutes in total, the entire debate. We can only play a few minutes of it. The debate you just heard, Black Muslims versus the sit-ins, with Malcolm X, with James Baldwin, with Laverne, and with, of course, Laverne McGinnis, McCummins, rather, available. That debate was 63 minutes long, over an hour of debate, featured right here on Pacifica Radio. It can be yours with your pledge of support. That pledge of support, 8 CDs, your $240 pledge, will get you some great premiums. Thank you for that call. Thank you so much for that call. Each and every one of you makes a difference for KPFT. We need to hear from you. Thank you to Robert, who just picked up line 1, 713-526-573. That means there's line 2 that is open, line 3 that's open, line 4. There's got to be somebody out there who cares about this kind of radio. Matt, again, yeah. This is why this kind of radio is so important, because you get to hear the debate. You get to make up your mind. It's certainly very strong opinions held on all kinds of sides, but you get to make your decision. You get to hear out what the perspectives were in 1961 when Black Muslims versus the sit-ins were recorded, when the debate that you are about to hear, which was recorded in 1960, was aired on WBAI, people had a chance to hear out the sides of the debate and where the civil rights movement was headed.
And this is the reason why I come to the station and volunteer and hear something like this.
Because this kind of radio, this is why you listen to KPFT. When you listen to KPFT, you want to hear the dialogue. You want to hear the discussion. You want to hear all sides. We recognize and we appreciate that you're an independent thinker, that you're somebody who wants to hear all kinds of different things, who wants to hear something that's not on all those commercial stations, which is like five songs, the same thing all the time, and everything else. You're here because you're somebody whose intelligence we respect. And we appreciate the fact that you choose this radio station, and we're asking for your pledge of support, particularly if you've never given a pledge before. This is your opportunity to say, yes, this is the kind of radio I want to make a stand for. This is something I want to take a vote for. And as a thank you gift, we've got a fantastic Malcolm X Deluxe set. Malcolm X Deluxe set, including 8 CDs, Prospects for Freedom, The Ballad of the Bullet, Black Muslims versus the Sit-Ins, the debate you just heard, and the debate you're about to hear a snippet of, A Choice of Two Roads, Betty Shabazz speaking on her late husband Malcolm X, John Heinrich Clark, the last speech of Malcolm X on this historic day, Monday, May 19th. Malcolm X would have been 83 years old had he not been gunned down in the Audubon Ballroom all those years ago. Your pledge of support makes all the difference to a station like this. 90% of our dollars come from the listeners. We're not funded by advertisers or underwriters and everything else. Matt Lewis Hill, who founded this radio network, came up with this crazy concept. You know what it was?
I believe it was.
This crazy concept is that listeners would support the radio that they appreciate, that when the radio inspired them, they would go to the phone and dial 713-526-5738, that they would be the ones, not the advertisers, not the underwriters, not the sponsors. Thank you for that call. Not that these wouldn't be the people that would determine how radio was done. It would be the listeners. Please go to your phone, dial 713-526-5738. Thank you so much for that call, 713-526-KPFT. We have a $500 goal we must raise this hour. We are getting closer to that goal, but we need to hear from you. You make the difference. I want to get to Bear Rustin. I want to get to Malcolm X. I'm every time I hear this, I have to tell, when you hear Baird Rustin and Malcolm X, there's no other way to put this, Matt, they're going at it. It is a heated debate. It is it's polite, certainly at the very beginning, but they certainly, thank you so much for those calls. We have Matt putting down the microphone, going to line two. With that, we will go to A Choice of Two Roads. You have to hear this debate. It can be yours for your pledge of support, that $240 pledge. When you call Pledge Central, say, I want that Malcolm X Deluxe set that includes 8 CDs. It is available for your $240 pledge. Call us at Pledge Central, 713-526-5738. This is A Choice of Two Roads, Baird Rustin and Malcolm X.
Here in the WBAI studios are Baird Rustin, Executive Secretary of the War Resisters League, and Malcolm X, Minister of Muhammad's Temple of Islam in New York. Both of you gentlemen are working in your own ways for the welfare of the American Negro. And the first thing I'd like to ask you is if you would describe the purposes of your individual organizations and tell us something about the philosophies inherent in them. Mr. X.
Yes, sir. Mr. Donahoe. And I'm happy to be here today to represent the Honorable Elijah Muhammad to your audience. And as you know, Mr. Muhammad is the spiritual head of the fastest growing group of Muslims in the Western Hemisphere. And he perhaps is probably the greatest drawing card among the so-called Negro masses, more so than any other so-called Negro leader today. And proof of which, a year ago in Washington, D.C., he appeared at the U-Line Arena and drew 10,000. And in New York at the St. Nicholas Arena, last year he drew 10,000. And this year, I think he drew another between 10 and 15,000. In Chicago, He drew $15,000, and I cite these things just to show you that as a man, no matter what people, whether they agree with him or disagree with him, they have to admit that the masses of the so-called Negroes are interested in hearing what he has to say. Probably in the past 2 years, he has become the America's most talked about and most written about black man. And even at the present time, I'd say he's one of the most controversial topic, namely because he's having such miraculous success in getting his program over among the so-called Negro masses. And if you ask me what it is, I can best tell you what it is by what he is credited with doing. The Time magazine last year, in an article about Mr. Muhammad, pointed out that he has successfully eliminated from among his followers the use of alcohol, which is one of the things that has destroyed our people here in America as a race. He has successfully eliminated dope addiction, profanity, excessive profanity, which actually stems from disrespect of self. He has successfully eliminated stealing and crime among his followers. He has, Time magazine also pointed out that he has, Mr. Muhammad has been successful in eliminating adultery and fornication and prostitution and making the black man respect his woman, something that has been characteristically absent among our men. And Time magazine also pointed out that among the Muslims who follow the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, juvenile delinquency has been eliminated. And in the U.S. News and World Report, about a couple months later in 59, they pointed out that Mr. Muhammad was successful in making the so-called Negroes see the importance of an economic program that would... In fact, when you think of what Time magazine said, they were giving him credit for being probably one of the greatest moral reformers that has appeared among the so-called Negroes here in America yet. And when you tie in what the U.S. News and World Report magazine said concerning his success at getting the so-called Negroes to set up stores and factories and farms to feed ourselves, grow food for ourselves, factories to manufacture things for ourselves, and places of business to create jobs for ourselves. The point behind this particular phase of Mr. Muhammad's program is to make the so-called Negro economically independent, to keep him from having to embarrass the white man by demanding that the white man give him a job. When he can act, Mr. Muhammad feels that our people can get together and pool our resources and our talents and whatnot and make jobs for ourselves. And lastly, I'd like to say that what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is teaching is not what we have been accused of, nationalism. Nationalism, the difference between being a Muslim and a nationalist, nationalism is the political approach or a political solution to the problems that confront the so-called Negroes in America. The aim of the black nationalist is the same as the aim of the Muslim. The Muslim and the black nationalists have no differences in objective. We are pointing toward the same goal. But the difference is in method, method. The black nationalist, wherein he relies on a political solution to the problems that confront the so-called Negro, we as Muslims believe that the only solution to our problem is a religious approach. And this is why we stress the importance of a moral reformation. As a rule, the black nationalist will not talk to you about God or any religion or any kind of moral uplifting of the moral values. Whereas the Muslim, he stresses first to raise the moral standard of the so-called Negro, and by doing this automatically, it tends to give him more dignity and self-respect, and it elevates his thinking to the point where he begins to think in terms of doing something for himself rather than to sit around and beg somebody else to share with him what they have amassed for themselves. So I would like to stress that Mr. Muhammad is not a politician. He doesn't believe that politics is the solution to the so-called Negro's problem. He says that the primary ingredient involved in our solution, it will take God. God himself has to have a hand in it, especially because the problem of the so-called Negro is so unique. His problem is different. The problem of the so-called Negro in America is different, perhaps, than the problem of any black people anywhere on this earth since the beginning of time. And so our entire approach is a religious approach. We believe that everything that, every condition that the Negro is in today was preordained, predestined, and prophesied. And we believe that we're living in the fulfillment of that prophecy today. We believe that our being here in America is in terms of biblical prophecy. We believe that the slave master's oppression of us is in line with biblical prophecy. And we believe that all of the trouble that the slave master is having on this earth today, all over the world, is all in line with the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. And we also believe that Mr. Muhammad's presence in America in the midst of the so-called Negroes and his reason for teaching what he's teaching exactly as he's teaching it is all in line with the fulfillment of biblical prophecy. So the one thing that I would like to stress is our program is strictly a religious program. Our solution is a religious solution. It's not a political one.
But, Mr. X, does this involve the creation of a black state in America?
Yes, I answer you like this. It involves the creation of a black state for the black man, if not in America, somewhere on this earth. If not somewhere abroad, then right here in America. But primarily it involves the acquisition of some land that the black man can call his own, here or somewhere else. If the powers that be don't want it here, then they should make it possible for it to be somewhere else. If they don't want it to be somewhere else, they should make it possible for it to be right here.
It does have some political characteristics, then.
Any religion, if by politics you mean the freedom and the rights of the black man, any religion that doesn't take into consideration that particular ingredient that involves the freedom of the black man is the wrong religion. But politics as such is not the solution. But the divine solution would have to have that particular ingredient in it. You can call it politics if you want, but I wouldn't call bread salt. It has salt in it. Salt is one of the ingredients. Yeast is one of the ingredients. Flour is one of the ingredients. And the overall problem of the so-called Negro in America is not a political problem as such. It's an economic problem. It's a social problem. It's a mental problem. It's a moral problem. And it's a spiritual problem. So we need a solution that doesn't deal with politics alone. What good does it do a man to be politically free and at the same time be economically dependent upon the man who gave him the so-called political independence? Why, he's still a slave. So we feel that since all of these ingredients are involved, only God himself can give a solution that will solve the whole thing. And this is the solution that we feel the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is teaching among the so-called Negroes here in America.
Hi, I'm KPFT General Manager Dwayne Bradley, and you're listening to a very special day of broadcasting, all commemorating the birth date of Malcolm X. In 1960, Pacifica Radio began recording and broadcasting the voice that was to become known as Malcolm X, and the Pacifica Radio Archives is a caretaker of a very extensive and unique collection of recordings, and you are listening to some of that today as we celebrate his birthday and the birth of the Black Liberation Movement. Rare speeches, interviews, debates, up to and including an analysis of his assassination in 1965, this special day, we hope, elicits your special call of support to Pacifica here on our membership drive today. Please call us at this number.
713-526-5738. Oops, didn't mean to cut Dwayne Bradley off. Our esteemed general manager, 713-526-KPFT. I had to step on over that because I am so excited. We have had such an exciting evening. We are getting close. We're spitting distance to our goal, really, spitting distance sounds so crude, doesn't it, Matt?
Yes, it does.
Sorry about that. So, hey, I realized after that came out of my mouth. So, 713-526-5738 is the number to call right now. Yes, just jump away. We're just about a little over $400 away to get to our hourly goal. Actually, it's a little bit less than that. So we are getting close, about $300 from our hourly goal for this program. You just heard a few minutes ago the debate with Baird Rustin and Malcolm X, A Choice of Two Roads. It is your gift this evening for your pledge of support. The debate gets very, very spirited, as you are starting to see. It's starting to, the temperature going up quite a bit, but you will hear a little bit more into that. We'll jump in progress in just a moment, but we want to ask for your pledge of support. Your pledge makes all the difference for this station. I can't ask Matt Helfrich. I can't ask Robert over at the Pledge Center. I can't certainly ask you individually, or you, just to say, please give us $500 and help us make this our goal. I'm not going to do that, and I'll tell you why. Because this station is made up of all of us. Not just one, not just two, not just three, but thousands of you, but hundreds of you over the last nearly 40 years have contributed your pennies, your dollars, your love, your good tidings, your willingness to support an idea.
Takes a whole village.
The idea is that these voices are important. They make a difference. This is, where else, Matt, can you say, I am going to hear Malcolm X and Baird Rustin from 1960 debating the nature of the civil rights movement on a 100,000-watt, fully powered FM radio station in a major city like Houston? Any major city in the top 20?
Nowhere but here.
Right here on KPFT. Certainly not in Texas. KPFT has put on some courageous programming, whether it is something like Malcolm X, whether it's something like Queer Voices, whether it's something like anything that you can name down our dial, something that's unique, something that's original, something that presents a vision of where we need to be, where we have been, and where we can go. We need your pledge of support right now to help us reach this goal. And I know we can do it. I have faith in all of you because I know how much this station means to you. Maybe you're tuning in for the very first time. Maybe you tuned in at this very moment and you were listening to Baird Rustin, you were listening to Malcolm X, and you were transfixed.
Or wondering what the heck is going on.
You were listening to this debate, listening to every word. You were listening to the nuances. You were listening to the way that each of these gentlemen, you could feel the energy in the room almost changing. It was like you were there. That's what, thank you so much for that call. That's what makes radio like this so special. It's intimate. It touches you in a very personal way. Maybe you're at home listening as you're preparing for your day tomorrow. Maybe you're on your way home and you're listening to Baird Rustin and Malcolm X, and it's like you're sitting at the table with them. Both men have passed, but yet you can hear this debate. It's like you're right there, and they're not trying to tell you what to think. They're saying, Malcolm is very clearly saying, this is my position and this is how I feel. Damn what everybody else thinks. This is how I feel because it's a principle. Baird Rustin saying, this is how I feel because of a principle. And letting you, based on your own principle, make your own decision. And hopefully that decision is to make a pledge of support for radio that provides this type of venue. Because I can guarantee you, if this outlet goes silent, there will be nobody to come in and say, Malcolm X needs to be on the airwaves. Queer Voices needs to be on the airwaves. All these other programs, Thresholds, New Capital, Democracy Now!, all these programs need to be on the airwaves. If there was a station that was interested in doing that, you would have probably heard of it by now. But you don't hear it anywhere on the FM dial. I encourage you to flip the dial and see if you can find anything this important, anything this unique. I will guarantee there's a pretty good segment of you who've already done that because you choose this station. You have decided, I'm tired of hearing the same
song.
Two Fergie songs over and over. And not, no disrespect to Fergie or anything else. I'm partially being sarcastic. But the same songs over and over, the same talking heads over and over, parodying the same little clip of news and all these other kinds of things. I'm tired of that. I want fresh radio. I want something that's unique. I want something that makes a difference. You can make a difference for KPFT with your pledge of support, because we cannot do this one by one. Matt, who's standing there volunteering his evening, his Monday night, not getting paid, volunteering his Monday night, because he wants to, he can pony up $500 right now. I'm not asking you to pony up $500. I'm not asking for your dog, your cat, your car, your house, your mortgage, your cell phone. I'm not asking for anything more than a pledge of support. Whatever amount you can pledge makes a difference as we help reach this $500 goal. If you are of means, and if it means something to you and you want it, you're listening to Bear, Rustin, and Malcolm X. We're about to get into that, Matt. And I'll tell you right now, it's going to be a pretty spirited debate in a few minutes. If you can pick that up, you get an 8-CD set at the $240 level, that Malcolm X Deluxe set. When you call our volunteers at Pledge Central, tell them you want the Malcolm X Deluxe set. You can pick that up for your $240 pledge. Matt, please give these folks the number.
713-526-5738. 713-526-KPFT. Or if you want, you can go to our website, kpft.org, and click on the PayPal button on the lower right-hand side. And donate that way.
Please do. Hey, man, I've got a few folks definitely need to thank this hour. Vince Cole is in the house. Cole Black's in the house. I want to bring him on here because we're talking about Malcolm X tonight. Tonight is the celebration of Malcolm X's birthday. It would have been 83 today. We're going to bring him on in just a little bit. Talk about that. I got to send a big thank you out to Gary and Fabiola. Hey, Gary and Fabiola in the lovely People's Republic of Montrose right down the street from us. Big thank you out to Fabiola and Gary for their pledge of support. Also got to send a big thank you out to Susan. Susan's just outside of downtown Houston. Big thank you out to Susan. So 713-526-5738. Please pick up your phone. Dial 713-526-KPFT. Your $240 pledge will get you that Malcolm X Deluxe CD set. 8 CDs, that's quite a collection. The Ballad of the Bullet, Prospects for Freedom, Black Muslims versus the Sit-Ins are some of the items featured. We'll also throw in the Baird Rustin debate you're listening to with Malcolm X, A Choice of Two Roads, Betty Shabazz's interview available in that set, John Heinrich Clark, Malcolm X's last speech, all 8 CDs, much, much more in that set. Your pledge of $240 gets you that set. Cole Black, why is Malcolm X relevant for today, in your opinion? Host of Street Talk, right here in the house.
Right here, but definitely Malcolm X is a voice for Generation X. I mean, we definitely, especially as the baby boomers that's getting ready to retire, you need to purchase and be a part of the speeches that Malcolm X gave so you can pass that through Generation X, because that's a word that would help uplift them and help bring them up to speed of where we need to be in this day and time. So definitely, if you have those in your libraries, or if you have your children, your grandchildren, you need to let them listen to that and let them take that in. That is a spiritual food, something that can elevate the mind and help raise this generation to a living perpendicular. Stand them up and give them some insight. It's very important that we pass that message on down to the youth. I mean, Malcolm X, as I say, is a voice for Generation X. It needs to be heard. And the only station that you will hear this on is KPFT 90.1 FM. So do your part. I mean, we need that. We see all the things that's happening in the news today. You know, that message will help bring up a generation. That message will also help strengthen the youth, especially within the black community. So definitely make sure you be a part of that and give us a call at 713-526-5738, and we all have to do our part.
713-526-5738. Cole Black from Street Talk. You want to stay tuned for that a little bit later. Right now we need to ask for your pledge of support. This type of history, this type of chronicle, is relevant to today. It is important. It's critical. Cole, I was talking with Ray Hill, founder of the station, one of the forefathers of the station. Right. Prison Show.
Great.
Name goes with Ray Hill, is somebody who needs no introduction to KPFT listeners. He was saying when he was a young activist, he listened to speeches from Martin Luther King. He listened to speeches from many great people. Memorized many speeches by Malcolm X. Memorized those speeches because... And Ray Hill, if you know Ray Hill, and Ray Hill, hopefully you're listening. White as a sheet. Just kidding, Ray. So, certainly, but he said, Malcolm X was relevant to me as a young white activist because he had something to say that everybody needed to hear about the way racial justice was working in the country, that the vision for putting forward an idea for liberation for everybody. And it was an important voice, and it's still an important voice. We need you to go to the phone, dial 713-526-5738. The Malcolm X Deluxe CD set is available for your $240 pledge. That is 8 CDs. That includes The Ballad of the Bullet. That includes Malcolm X's famous Prospects for Freedom speech. That includes his final address. That includes John Heinrich Clark speaking on Malcolm's legacy. Betty Shabazz speaking on her late husband, Malcolm X. The two debates that we have shared with you this evening. Black Muslims versus the sit-ins featuring Malcolm X and James Baldwin, as well as LaVarne McCummins. As well, we have been bringing you Baird Rustin and Malcolm X. A Choice of Two Roads. You can get that set for your pledge of support. We cannot do this without you. We can only do this with you. We cannot make this goal without your pledge of support. We have less than 10 minutes to go. I want to have some faith right now. I want to bring you back into the Baird Rustin Malcolm X debate. We're going to go into this a few minutes. If we're able to make our goal during this hour, we'll try to bring it to you through the rest of this hour. If we have to interrupt, I apologize very, very much, but we do have to make that appeal because we need to hear from you. You care about KPFT. We're asking for you to show that care with your pledge of support. We're not asking for a lot. We're asking for whatever you can give. We understand that times are tough. Those stimulus checks are in the mail for a lot of people. Give your tax-deductible donation to Stimulating Radio. Radio that inspires. Radio that motivates. Radio that empowers and makes a difference in your life. Go to the phone. Dial 713-526-5738. Call. I've got faith in people. We're going to go back to A Choice of Two Roads. Stay tuned. You're listening to KPFT Houston.
Now, am I to take it that what you are saying is that you are really opposed to integration because you don't think it's meaningful and cannot work?
Oui.
Therefore, I come back to my question. Now, you said a great deal about nonviolence, which we should get into, and you've implied a certain number of economic things, but I have to get first your basic position clear in my mind. Otherwise, I don't think the rest of the discussion can be meaningful. You have to answer for me clearly the question as to whether what you ultimately have to see as a logical position is leaving the United States. If for the next 200 years Negroes are not going to be citizens by your definition, why isn't it logical then for your leader to say, let us find a piece of territory somewhere and go to it? Because either you are advocating the continuation of slavery, if that isn't logical, because you say you can't get it by the methods which I am advocating, which is the slow grinding process of integration. Now, I want to know where you stand on that, because I can't see other things clearly unless I see this.
I'll try and make it as clear as I can. If by integration, we believe that integration is hypocrisy. If you were going to use the word brotherhood, that's another thing. We don't believe in integration, but we do believe in brotherhood. Integration.
But do you believe brotherhood is possible here?
If any time, sir, you have to pass a law that will make the white man accept you into his society, that's not brotherhood, that's hypocrisy. If a man holds a gun on you to make you put your arm around me and pretend that you love me, that's not brotherhood, that's hypocrisy.
Right.
And if America, if this country has to pass laws
to make the white people accept us into their educational system and has to pass laws to make the white people accept us into their into better housing in their neighborhoods, then what that is, the government is holding a gun on the white man and making him pretend that he wants you and me to sit beside him. That is hypocrisy. The government is forcing the white man in America to become a race of hypocrites. Now, if the white man, with no laws passed whatsoever, would accept the black man into his school, would accept the black man into his neighborhood, would accept the black man into his social system, economic system, and political system without laws having to be passed, then we would go for that. We would say that that's brotherhood, that's voluntarily, and it will work.
That's going to happen?
Why, your common sense tells you, sir, that it's not going to happen.
Then, if you cannot do this through the constitutional methods of going into courts, of having laws, which I call integration, and if you cannot do it by the spirit, which you call brotherhood, then what do you see as the future for black people here, and why should they stay?
Sir, the future for the black man in America, as we've been taught by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, since you can see, and any intelligent person can see, that the white man is just not going to share his wealth with his ex-slave, or share his house with his ex-slave, or share his fields with his ex-slave, if the slave keeps pressing him, sooner or later there has to be a showdown. If the white man, the slave master, does not want the ex-slave in his house, then he has to let that slave go for himself and find a house for himself. Now, Mr. Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, our leader and teacher, teaches us this, that God has taught him that the only solution for the slave and the slave master is separation.
So then you do believe in separation.
We absolutely believe in separation.
Right.
We believe that separation is divine.
Right. Now, if there is to be divine separation, are you people being logical? Are you saying then we ought to take over, let us say, an area of the United States which is predominantly Negro and send more and more in until we control it? Or are you being logical by saying let's get outside of here?
I think both is logical. It's logical when you find that you can't get along with a man in peace to set up house somewhere else. Now, when we say that, when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that God has declared that the black man in America must have some land of his own, that means he must have some land of his own. The land doesn't have to be in Asia. The land doesn't have to be in Africa. The land doesn't have to be in Canada. The land can be anywhere. And if right here in America, since, as you say, we've been such good workers and faithful citizens, I'd rather say faithful servants,
right.
We haven't received any payment for our labor, it would only be just if the master, if his intention is good, since he knows he's not going to bring about this integration, the best thing for him to do is let us have some of these states. And we can go into these states, instead of begging him to live next door to him, we can go into these states and set up farms and feed our own people, set up factories and manufacture clothing and other utilities for our own people, set up businesses where we can make jobs for our own people. And this will keep us from having to beg him for that which he has set up for his people.
Right. In other words, then, Daily News is right in describing your movement as being an apartheid movement. They compared you to South Africa, where they say the whites should be in one place, the Negroes in another. It seems to me that what you're saying is pretty much the same thing.
No, sir. We don't feel that the Daily News is qualified to classify us as anything or compare us with any South African philosophy because, number one, the people in South Africa are some people who left Europe and went into Africa, a continent that is not theirs, and took it over from the black people to whom it belonged, and they are now there advocating white supremacy, which is a false doctrine. They're advocating black inferiority, which is another false doctrine, and they're basing their entire governmental system on the continued existence they're staying on a continent that they don't belong in, and also ruling over some people that they have no authority over.
You are listening to the voice of Malcolm X, and I apologize for jumping on in. This is Ernesto Aguilar, KPFT program director, Matt over at Pledge Central. Looks like I've got Robert on the phone. We are so close to our goal right now, and we need to hear from you. 713-526-5738. You can pick up a copy of this debate. Cole Black in the studio from Street Talk is here. We were just talking, Matt, about Baird Rustin basically calling out Malcolm X and saying, so the paper says you're right that you're an apartheid movement. And it's just like, wow, this is just it's an intriguing debate. I hate to jump into it, but we still have a goal we need to reach. We're not quite there. I need to send a very special thank you out. I like all of the thank yous are special, but this one's very near and dear to my heart. I need to send a great big thank you out to Seema out in Spring. Matt, Seema is without parallel one of my favorite people. Just such a good soul. Such a kind person, certainly one of the people who has volunteered here at the station, really exemplifies what Pacifica is about, has given so much of herself to the station, and was inspired enough to call the station and give a contribution. So thank you so much, Seema. It really meant a lot to me to see your name on a piece of paper, and it means a lot to me to hear from all of you. It really does, and I know it does. It feels really great to Matt and to Robert. Robert, a longtime phone volunteer who says, wow, this is one of the best Monday nights we've ever had since I've been phone volunteering. He loves to talk to each and every one of you. Matt loves to hear the phones ring. Cole, I know you love to hear the phone ring. You're a programmer. I know it feels good to you when you get those pledges coming in, when you hear people calling up and say, I love this kind of programming.
Definitely. That's motivation to keep moving, to keep going on. Definitely. Especially for your support and the shows that we do. And like we say that, you know, KPFT is the only radio station that can give you truth. You know, that's straight coming from the heart, that a lot of people enjoy without being biased. You know, we don't mind giving messages out to the people, you know, where they can make their own decision, their own choices. And listening to this Malcolm X set is so wonderful because this message relates to this day and time. You know, he's giving answers to solutions that we're having problems trying to solve in this day and time. So you definitely want to pick up that set. You definitely want to get on the phone line at 713-526-5738. Help us meet our goals so we can continue to bring you this quality broadcast on air, on an FM station that's going out through Houston and surrounding.
The free program you just heard was paid for by the listener members of KPFT Houston. If you're not already a KPFT member, we encourage you to join with us in keeping free speech alive by becoming one. Basic membership is still $35 a year. You don't have to, but you'll feel better. Thanks for listening.